888-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
We're with Larry Grover. Larry, McDonald's losing business, I guess they're losing market share, represents to you a weakening of America?
Well, it does, because McDonald's is such a symbol of this country. And the other thing, Phil, is if you look at McDonald's and what it's represented to young people, every generation of young person, for instance, the idea that McDonald's was the first job for a lot of young people, the idea that McDonald's wouldn't, a lot of kids wouldn't eat breakfast if it wasn't for McDonald's. They've got fast food breakfast. The Golden Arches, along with the American Eagle and the Washington Monument, are a symbol, if you will, of this country. And now what we see are Americans not eating at McDonald's as often as they should. And yet I'm here willing to, and I'm not going to say kill my own father, because I don't think I'm killing him. I think what I'm doing is I'm allowing him to honor this country.
Well, your father has a heart condition, right?
My father has some artery blockage, yes.
And yet every day, and I think you said you make him eat a...
Well, I don't make him, because my father's a World War II veteran, and he recognizes how important certainly serving for your country is. He is a willing, most of the time, I think there are days, he's got good days and bad days, but most of the time he's willing to go down and eat either an Egg McMuffin or a Sausage McMuffin, one of the ones that have got a lot of fat, because it's very tasty, to show that he supports this country. And when I think of the fact that my father walks around with chest pains and is still willing to go down to McDonald's and eat a fat-filled, greasy hamburger because he loves this country so much, I just put tears in my eyes, that's all.
I understand that, okay. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Talking to Larry Grover about McDonald's, about how it's losing a little bit of business and how it's very un-American not to eat there.
I can tell you something. The Big Mac has 590 calories. 310 of those calories are from fat. There are 1,090 milligrams of sodium in a Big Mac. So you're obviously talking about a sandwich that can create, in a man who has an unstable heart, an embolism. It can create stroke.
Well, how American is it for you to be forcing your father to...
By the way, I'm talking about keeping a great American business floating. That's how much I love him. That's how much I love my father. That even though he could eat one more Big Mac and I could lose him right there on the floor in a Big Mac in a McDonald's, I'm willing to take that chance. Because hold on for a minute, Phil, because we're driving around right now. I'm just...
What are you doing? Let me give our number, 1-800-449-8686. What are you doing?
I'm going to pull in right now, as a matter of fact.
Welcome to McDonald's, man. Take your order, please.
Yeah, I'm going to have a Big Mac.
Is your dad with you now?
Yeah, he is, right here. No, please, no. Come on, have another one.
May I take your order?
Yeah, let me have a couple of Big Macs. I'd like two large orders of fries.
Okay, you want to have a spicy chops with that?
No, none of that today. Let me have a large Coke. What do you want, Dad?
Please, God.
What, are you guys ordering lunch right now?
Yeah, I've got my father with me right now. What do you want?
Well, he doesn't want to have anything, it sounds like.
Come on. Please don't make me eat.
What's the old man want?
Yeah, what do you want? Yeah. Tell you what, let him have
Larry?
Hold on, Phil. Let him have get one of those sausage McMuffins. It's got a lot of grease in it.
And get extra greasy.
Yeah, that's good. Is that all right, Pops? Please don't make me eat it. Please.
It sounds like he doesn't want to eat it.
Huh?
It sounds like he really doesn't want to eat it.
No, like I said, though, Phil, he has good days and bad days. All right?
But why would you force a man who has a heart condition, who has chest pains, who has artery blockage, to eat a sandwich that's got all that fat in it?
Because I love McDonald's and the symbol that it represents for this country. What have I been talking about for the last half hour?
I know you love McDonald's and you love the Golden Arches, okay?
Hold on for a minute. What?
Would you like a pineapple turnover with that?
Yeah, give us a couple of those, too.
You got it.
Can you talk to me, man, and not the guy at the thing?
Yeah, okay.
I know McDonald's is a symbol for this country, all right?
Well, I mean, hold on for a minute.
You want a large fry smothered in ranch dressing?
Yeah, tell you want some.
Oh, God, please, no.
Look, he doesn't want the fries smothered in ranch dressing. I just heard that.
Yes, he does. Phil, my father fought in World War II. That meant that a lot of days they had to go up over the hill whether they wanted to or not. Some days they had to take a machine gun nest whether they wanted to or not. That's what that generation did for this country. And he continues to set the example that even though he has searing chest pains that shoot right down his left arm, he is willing to... You want the fries for the ranch? No, please.
I heard him say no. He doesn't want them.
Yeah, he does, yeah. Kid! Hey, kid!
Help you?
Yeah, get the French, the ranch. What the hell is it?
Ranch dressing, extra greasy?
Yeah, get that.
Okay.
Why don't you just pull forward to the window where you pay? What do you keep talking to this guy in the talkback for?
I don't know. What are we talking about?
We're talking about your father with a heart condition here.
What, you want to wait? Here. All right, we got the food.
All right, that'll be $6.98 with the two French fries. We're here finally fine. When the rain is done, I will turn it over. Okay, please drive out the first window.
You got it. All right, we're driving up to the first window now, Phil.
Good for you.
All right. And here it is. Here's yours. Come on, Dad.
Larry, we're on the air, okay?
No, I understand. I got to feed my father. Here it is. Big Mac. Going right down the chute. Oh, God, no.
Yeah, come on. Eat it. Eat it.
Yeah, he loves it.
Chest pains, arm pains.
Tightness of the chest, too. Let's not forget that.
Oh, okay.
Eat it.
Would you like a body bag with that? Or with that?
Yeah. Yeah, he's fine. But I can just tell you this much, Phil, because we're a very tight-knit family. I've got a son in Afghanistan, and I got a father right here now. You all right, Phil? Yeah, I'll get him over. I'll get his nitroglycerin pills for him. That this is a family of... And let me tell you something else. A heart attack didn't hurt Larry King, okay? So, well, he looks like he's going to... Yeah, he's having a stroke. So
that's great, man, okay? Why don't you ask the kid in the talkback if you know a hospital?
Good idea. Hey, kid! Kid!
Yeah, can I help you?
You know any good hospitals?
No, I don't. Thank you for shopping right now.
Go get some Sintrain, dumbass kid.
Okay, thanks. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So there's Larry's father having another Big Mac. I don't know what the grease content of a Big Mac is. I have no idea. I don't think they're actually really all that greasy, to be honest with you. I think they're probably pretty damn good for you. They're going to find out in 1,000 years the best thing you could have eaten is a Big Mac. You know, do you remember it wasn't too long ago people said don't eat meat? Now they're saying eat meat. They said red meat was bad. Now they're saying it's good. I don't believe any of them. You know, I'm not listening to any of them. I don't believe any of them. I continue on doing what I've always done, eating the flesh of dead humans. For me, that's the secret to my health. That's the secret to my longevity. I have people in my family that are over the age of 90. Why? Human flesh. I don't know what it is with me with that whole cannibalism kick. When Marie and I went to Fiji, I was reading up on cannibalism. It was just weird. Because Fiji, they used to do cannibalism big time, huge. And I started downloading all these articles on it. What in hell? I can't even explain it. Other than I do have a very healthy, I think, but nonetheless, a curious fascination with the macabre. By the way, there's a serial killer museum being opened up by the lead singer in Korn, Jonathan Davis. It's called a murderabilia museum. Now, that's twisted, man. I'm not so down with it. I'm talking about cannibalism. That's a nice, friendly way of killing somebody. You know, it's part of the culture. It's part of the religion. But it ain't some fascination with these twisted bastards. I like the cop end of it. I like, you know, the hunting them down and destroying them end of it. You know, the hunting them down and putting them in the gas chamber end of it. Anyway, enough about that. Let's move back to cannibalism. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. We went to Fiji. I read up on it, and I had all these articles downloaded. And my wife is looking at me. She's moving around the rooms. Can we put that book away now? Oh, no. No, not now, dear. I'm getting to the good part. All the missionaries and the stewing pots. I said, I think I'm going to stay in the room and just do some... I'm going to relax and read. Yeah, relax and read. Cannibalism in Fiji. 200 years of fine cuisine. Anyway, it's pretty out there. You know, I'm not even going to go there. But getting back to the Big Mac, I'm going to be honest with you. This is the God's truth. When I ate fast food, I was skinnier than I am now. I eat my wife's cooking now. I'm a fat tub. Back in the day when I was eating nothing but fast food, I was living on McDonald's. I was in great shape. You know that commercial they got that fat tub walking down the street from Subway sandwiches? They could have had me on there doing it for McDonald's. I've seen more stuff happen in the drive-thru line at McDonald's. I've seen people getting crazy violent. It's just, it is more than just a fast food place. It's a shrine. It's a place that we visit to sort of pay homage to the Americanness of all of us. It's not about money, really. It's just, here's where we go to eat. And it's even beyond the point now where you're looking for food quality. You just, well, this is where I go to eat. Don't you know the hamburgers suck? It doesn't matter. I'm going to eat them anyway. And there's nothing you can say that's going to change my mind. The hamburgers suck. Don't eat them. It doesn't matter. I'm going to eat there. I'm going there. I'm eating there. I'm buying the wristwatches and the little plastic McBurglar toys. Up yours and the horse you rode in on. I've seen people get violent in the drive-thru line. I'll never forget. This is a great line. Listen to this. Guy's in his truck. There's a line of maybe, let's say 10 cars waiting to pull through the drive-thru. You know, move up to the little menu and, yeah, I'd like a quarter pounder with cheese and a... And then you move forward. There's a guy in his truck. He stops and he gets out of his truck and goes into the restaurant. He's a total and utter insufferable boor. He's stopping everybody. He's gone in. So the guy behind him cuts around and jumps in front of him, and the guy comes out and sees that somebody's cut in front of him, and he walks over to the guy's window, and he goes, "Did you jump in my grave that fast?" I said, "Oh, that's a cool line. Would you jump in my grave that fast?" And the guy is this little dude with the, you know, four-eyed kind of a guy. "Beg your pardon?" I said, "Would you jump in my grave that fast? I seen you cut around me." And I wanted to say, "Hey, dick. What are you doing getting out of your car and going in there? What are you, checking up to see how fast they get their fries done? If I'm in this drive-thru line, I want to make sure the fries are done by the time I get there. Otherwise, I'll park it and just go in." So there's all kinds of madness at McDonald's. Madness. And everybody worked there at one time or another when they were a kid. I did. And Chris, didn't you say you did? David G., he did. He worked there. He told me a bizarre story. Dig this. He got fired from McDonald's, right? You want to know why? Because some jackass walked in there one day and said, "I'd like my burger rare, please." And he said, "Well, you know, sir, we only really serve the burgers one way here at McDonald's. Cooked, you know, real good." I'm sure he gave the big pitch. The guy goes, "No, I want it rare. And if you don't give it to me rare, I want to talk to the manager." The guy's like getting up in his face. He says, "You want a rare burger." So David goes in the back and gets one of those frozen meat discs. It's a frozen red meat disc, sticks it between two pieces of, did the whole thing up like it was a, you know, a quarter pound or whatever the hell, a Big Mac. Comes, so he's got the buns and the secret sauce and the onions and everything and a frozen, yeah, and he gave it to the guy. And the guy got really pissed, asked to see the supervisor. Supervisor came. The guy said, "You have just served me raw meat, and I know by the health code I can have you shut down unless you have this kid fired right now." And so that's what this guy did. He fired the kid on the spot in front of the customer. I said, "Did you explain what happened?" "Yeah, it didn't make any difference." I said, "Well, good for you." And my kids, they'd be dead today if it wasn't for McDonald's, so... Cool. 1-800-449. They'd be dead today. They don't eat unless it's that stuff. That's their big night out. 1-800-449-8686. Serious, God is my witness. I mean, when I first moved in with the kids, they're like, yeah, let's go get a McDonald's burger. I said, what are you, out of your mind? It's the worst hamburger. What are you kidding me? It's the best. So I had to slowly turn them on to like good food. You know, they got the apple pies. They're like 2 for a buck. You can live on those. It's not bad. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Hey, have you got our Best of the Year 2001 CD yet? Well, you should. The Best of the Year 2001 Phil Hendry Show CD is chock full of all of our delightful stuff from last year. And just as a kind of a very cool preview to our 2002 CD, on July 4th, we are going to be running the top 100 calls of the last year. You know how some people run the top 100 songs, some people run the top 200 songs, the top 200 album cuts? Nobody in the history of talk radio other than me has ever run the top 100 calls. Now, these are the best calls to any talk show in America over the last year, and they just so happen had come into my show. So we will be running the top 100 talk show calls of the year. They all came into my show from this past year, and you'll hear it all on July the 4th on The Phil Hendry Show. Now, as a little preview to our year 2002 CD, you'll be able to hear all of that. And Craig's looking at me like it's going to be a whole lot of work. No, it ain't, man. You just pull out the... I can do that for you, and like I'll do it for you. A half hour will be fantastic. All right, but just as a way of kind of checking out what that show might be like, pick up our Best of the Year 2001 CD. It's called Bring It. It's available on our website or by calling 877-616-7445. That's 877-616-7445. This year's CD is filled to the brim with some of the best bits of the year 2001, including Pastor Rennick, Don't Ever Say That Word, and Mother's Day Lube. Yes, it's all there for you at 877-616-7445. The Best of the Phil Hendry Show Year 2001 CD, Bring It. Or you can pick it up online at our website, philhendryshow.com. Here is Joe on The Phil Hendry Show. Joe?
He has sex with my mama.
No, he didn't get it, Joe. Here is Chuck. Chuck?
Hey.
How are you?
Very good. How you doing, Phil?
Good, man.
Hey, I got to tell you a drive-through story from McDonald's. I was in line. There was a guy in front of me in a pickup truck, and a family of ducks, those little Muskogee ducks that, you know, go to the bathroom all over the sidewalk and make a huge mess.
Yeah.
And this guy was in front of me, and I seen him. He stuck his hand out the window, and he crunched up a bag of potato chips, and he threw them down on the ground. Not the bag, but the chips. He was feeding the
ducks. For the ducks?
Right. Well, at the same time, the guy in the window stuck his head out and yells at the redneck and says, "Don't be throwing no trash in my yard."
Oh, and great.
The redneck's like, what are you talking about? You know, so he gets up to the window, and they have some words. I don't know what it was. The guy's hanging out of the window. The redneck's hanging out of his truck. Redneck pulls around to the front of the McDonald's. The guy walks out the front of the store. The redneck gets out of the truck and knocks the guy out. One time in my life, I saw a McDonald's employee getting what he deserves.
That's awesome. Getting what he did. Well, I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but that's
don't
wild,
ever
man.
Don't ducks at McDonald's. That's all I can
tell you. Drive-through lines are really dangerous places to be because...
I think so.
Yeah, because if you think about it, you can't get out of them once you're in them. And some of those drive-through lines, for instance, there are cement curbs on either side, and there's a guy behind you, there's a guy in front. Now suddenly I can't go anywhere. I am stuck here. I am captive to the nitwit behind that window and the knucklehead who's ordering... Wait a minute, man. You got napkins? Give me some And also, can we get 3 more chocolate shakes? Okay, yeah, great. And then you see the hand reaching for the thing, and then you see the guy gesticulating like he's asking for... Oh, yeah. And 2 more fries down there. It's like next year you're getting out of there, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's like one of those movies where the terrorists kind of, you know, they close in on the rich guy's limousine, one car behind, one guy in front. That's what I feel like. I'm trapped. I'm in Sum of All Fears. 1-800. In other words, it's a bad movie. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The events of September 11th marked the turning point for the FBI, said Robert Mueller, the FBI director. In essence, we need a different approach that puts prevention above all else. The FBI is overhauling itself to confront the threat of terrorism and prevent future attacks. You know, here's the thing that's goofy about that. I don't want to complain and I don't want to second guess the guy, but they already had information before September 11th that this stuff was going to happen. So what exactly are they overhauling? They're going to overhaul this to the point where they ain't going to have the same information that they did back in the summer of 2001 when somebody might have put two and two together. You know, the events of September 11th marked a turning point. Where there are mistakes to be acknowledged, we will not shy away from doing so. We will never shy away from making the tough decisions to keep our citizens safe and our country secure. Oh, so now he's going to say they're going to start reading their faxes. I think what they need to do is get a new approach at the FBI, start to read the faxes. We're going to hire a guy at $80,000, $100,000 a year, and he'll just read the faxes. And they'll actually get to us this time. Under the new plan, fewer resources will be devoted to investigating drug trafficking, violent crime, and white-collar crime. Some 3,718 FBI agents will be assigned exclusively to counterterrorism duties. Fine. Including 518 transferred from other areas of law enforcement, and they expect to hire another 900 agents. Now's your chance. They're going to create the National Terrorism Task Force. They're hiring more agents. They want to upgrade their antiquated computer system. They want to expand the role of local police. They want to authorize the sharing of classified information. They have a new 10-point list of priorities, putting terrorism and foreign espionage at the top. They're getting it done, baby. Where's that list? I had it, in fact. There's a list of 10 things they're going to do to make sure that nobody blows up another building. Look, let's be honest, okay? This thing that happened on September the 11th was the top of it was the best that those guys could do. Whatever Al-Qaeda is capable of, you just saw it. The very best that they're capable of. That's it. If you don't believe that, that is it. Now, I'm not saying they can't get a hold of a nuclear weapon. I'm not saying specifically I'm talking about a dirty bomb, one of those things we just loaded up with radioactive material and create radioactivity, create a sort of dirty fallout. I'm not saying they can't do that. I'm not saying that they can't create another explosion someplace. But this is about as good as it gets for these guys. And everybody wants to talk about this war on terror being sort of a failure, or it's kind of blurry, or we don't have any objectives. I think we've done pretty damn good with it. I think I believe the White House when they say that we've disrupted the Al-Qaeda operation, that we've disrupted their communication. I believe them. I think so. I'm looking with my own eyes, and I'm looking at what's going on around the world. I also said this a few days after 9/11, that if these guys had anything else in them, we would have seen it by now. And we didn't, because that's it, Jim, in a nutshell, right there. 9/11, flying the planes into the buildings. I ain't saying that they can't, like I say, blow something up. They know how to blow things up. They can blow something else up, but it's going to be sporadic. It's going to be hit and miss. It's going to be basically what they did on 9/11. And what the FBI is trying to do is prevent even that, okay? Because that north to south, east to west line, when I read that, from those two scumbags that they had wiretapped in Italy, it reminded me of something. It reminded me of something, and then I remembered what it was. It was what Bin Laden himself said after 9/11 on one of those videotapes. He said, America is filled with fear, north to south, east to west. It was the same phrase. And what does that mean? It means that they were planning on jacking planes north, south, east, and west. They were planning on creating this... What was it? The line was storm of airplanes over America. And they didn't do it. They didn't do it. Even before 9/11, we stopped this dirtbag up at Seattle, Washington, trying to bring explosives down to blow up LAX. You see, along the line, if they share this information, they get things done. So a lot of this stuff is public relations. It's meant for us to consume and feel better. The FBI says they're reorganizing. What they're really saying is this. We get the message. We didn't connect the dots. We're going to start connecting the dots. And we want you guys all to feel better. We want confidence in the FBI that we can stop this stuff from happening. And I believe them. I do. Because you got to remember what you're dealing with. You're dealing with terrorists. What's that mean? What's it mean? What's their number one product? What's the number one thing that a terrorist tries to create? Fear, terror. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have to explode anything. They just got to make you think they're going to explode something. That's why they use the words that they use. That's why they use the language that they use. That we're going to make your mothers wish they never met your fathers. That we're going to open the gates of hell for you. That there will be, you know, and they love to wag their fingers and look into the camera and say that, you know, God is great and we're going to kick ass and you just wait and see, yada, yada, yada. And the next thing you know, we're taking these guys out with coffee pots and trays full of plates. So they're not, as warriors, they leave a lot to be desired, these guys. They're not real warriors. They don't really come to the table as warriors. They come to the table as bullcrap artists. Number one, they're full of crap. And number two, they come to the table as a fear-invoking, fear-inspiring mouthpiece, blabbermouths, really. And then occasionally they get lucky with a hijacked airplane. Oh, here they are. Here's the 10 things that the FBI is going to do. Protect the United States from terrorist attack. Good one. That's, I want to do that, okay? Yeah, we will. Because the last thing, that 9/11, don't worry, it won't happen again. Oh, it won't happen again. I promise. All right. Protect the United States against foreign intelligence operations and espionage. Protect the United States against cyber-based attacks and high technology crimes, which is what the Chinese are trying to do. Did you hear about this? Yeah, thanks a lot, China. Kick a man when he's down. The Chinese are trying to hack into our computers. The Chinese army. The Chinese military is trying to hack into our computers. Number four, combat public corruption at all levels. What's that? I don't know. Number five, protect civil rights. Number six, combat transnational and national criminal organizations and enterprises. Number seven, combat major white-collar crime. Eight, combat significant violent crime. Nine, support federal, state, local, and international partners. And 10, upgrade the technology. And number 11, hire a gay guy as the director, because that was the last time the FBI ever really worked well. A homosexual ran it. Hello, I'm George Bush. I can tell you right now what's wrong with the FBI, Mueller, and you can take your 10-point plan and you can park it up your ass. What are you talking about? Well, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. We need a fag running this thing again. What is it with you, all right? Good evening, my fellow Americans. Any of you gay with any law enforcement, run the FBI. Last time that anybody had any confidence in it, J. Edgar, baby, was running it. That's what we want. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. You notice how people that are gay bashing, anti-gay, homophobic, however you want to put it, do you notice how they always conveniently overlook and sidestep all of those kind of very notable things that gay people do? And I, for instance, you could always stop somebody dead in their tracks when you'd say this about the gays in the military argument. Say, well, why don't you go to the Vietnam Memorial in Washington and scrape off all the names of the gay men that died over there? You stop them dead in their tracks, okay? And then the other one would be, yeah, J. Edgar Hoover, fag. And that stops them right there, okay? And then Rock Hudson,
fag.
That nailed him to the wall. So, you know. And then you always had this one in reserve. Alexander the Great.
Fag.
Okay. Great general. And then I'd start making it up. Dwight Eisenhower.
Gay.
So, and most of the dumbasses that you're talking to about this, they don't know any better. Well, what do you say that Dwight Eisenhower's gay? Well, I mean, that's a different story entirely. Well, what do you mean it's different? Well, he was a general. He was gay? Yes, he was. Wow. I didn't know that, did you? Wow. Yeah, a lot of them, man. Okay. Ronald Reagan. You didn't know that, did you? Well, wait a second. Reagan had a... Yeah, of course he had a wife, but... Well, if that's the case, then I guess I still don't want to live... Do I have to live next to them? Well, no. You can turn out an invitation to the White House. And I suppose that whole Douglas MacArthur... Don't tell me he was gay. Yes, MacArthur was gay. Went back to the Philippines. I will return. I shall return. You know, just as soon as I shower. So, keep that in mind, friend. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, Les.
Hello, Phil.
Yes, sir.
How are you today?
Good. Good. Fine.
Listen,
thanks.
I want to thank you for your thoughts on the slop that they serve at McDonald's.
Slop.
The only time you hear those kind of sentiments are on health talk shows.
I think their food's fantastic.
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, okay.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you.
Well,
I think it's good, good fast food.
Okay, maybe yeah, you're.
Don't eat there. Don't eat there.
No.
Don't eat there.
Well, thanks for using your forum to express that. And I suspect that your straightforward manner has gotten you in trouble over the years. And
no,
you sound like a brave guy.
Yeah, I'm brave. Thanks, pal. Yeah, McDonald's has like fat calories in it. That's bravery. Whatever. I'm just trying to get through the day here, babe, as best I can. I can along the way try to give people a few giggles. The last thing I want to do, man, is get up in anybody's kisser. I got a wife and four fine children to feed. You know, this idea that I'm getting up in the morning looking to be controversial. Are you putting me on? The only thing I'm trying to do is get people laughing, and I ain't kidding either. I ain't trying to raise anybody's awareness. Well, sometimes let me be honest with you. Sometimes I'm trying to vent things that really piss me off. Yeah, sure, I'll give you that. But I don't know that I'm right. And it probably is a justifiable thing for you to feel when you feel, how come he gets to do that and I don't? The fact is, I'm better at expressing myself than you, see? Thank you. Now then. No, really, I mean, the reason why I got this gig is because I have a better than average ability to express myself. And I do it in a moderately entertaining way. I do a lot of funny voices. And then we have a guy at a McDonald's drive-thru having a stroke. And then we have a couple of things over here and a couple of things over there. Put it all together, you got a show. And occasionally I'll stop down and take a phone call or two from a guy like that who wants to compliment me. And he realizes that's not really what he heard me say. But thanks anyway, Phil, for being there. You're welcome. But controversial, forget it. But I occasionally will say something, yeah, that I'm really pissed and maybe I want to vent and I want somebody to hear me. Like after 9/11 is a good example. Everybody was pissed off. I mean, how could you not be? And I remember right after that happened, you know, I remember people saying, now let's just get on with our lives and let's just get back to normal. And I had this conversation with, of all people, Andy Richter, who has the TV show, who said something very... I mean, amazingly, he said something very intelligent. I mean, I couldn't believe, no, I'm kidding. I mean, but he said, hey, when is it okay for us to get pissed? So, yeah, I got pissed and I said a bunch of stuff and just talked out loud, expressing my thoughts. But forget about this controversy thing, man, because it's baloney. There's no such thing as controversy anymore. There's no such thing as controversy anymore in television or radio. If you see it, it is a planned and contrived event. I guarantee you. If you hear about somebody losing their job, no doubt some people really do get fired. But if you hear about someone having said something controversial and they've been pulled off the air, this or that, believe me when I tell you that the radio station or the employers of that individual are really very happy that that happened because it's drawing a little bit of attention toward their broadcast enterprise. There's no such thing anymore as a controversial host. You may think a guy says something that's really out there, but it's being done up and down a dial all over the place. My primary thing that I'm trying to do here when I get in here every day is occasionally along the way make people laugh. That's my major, and some days we do it and some days we don't, so sue me. Here's what I'm talking about, by the way, when I said what I said about Hollywood saying, well, we're just trying to raise awareness. Yeah, here it is. Now, this new movie, it's called The Sum of All Fears, and apparently it's about a terrorist organization that gets a hold of a nuclear weapon, and they threaten America, and yada, 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 right? Well, Ben Affleck, who's the movie star, said, there's something to be said for awareness, because fears Some of all fears includes realistic scenes of massive destruction, widespread panic, and images of a president flying aboard the National Airborne Command Center in the midst of an international nuclear crisis. It's filled with all kinds of apocalyptic and Armageddon-like frightening scenes. And along comes Ben Affleck to say, well, there is something to be said for awareness, he said during a recent press conference. This movie wants to raise awareness. Awareness of what? Well, let me say it again. Awareness of what, Mr. Affleck? Or is it a fleck? Or is it just feckless? What are we supposed to be... What don't I know, man? I saw it. I mean, I don't need to know anymore. Raise my awareness. Of what? That there's going to be a terror attack? Holy God. 9/11 didn't make me aware, you're right, but your movie will. That's what I needed. I didn't need... You know, I finally got it. What'd you see? I went and saw Sum of All Fears. Well, what? Well, it tells me that there could be a terrorist attack. Did you see the World Trade Center? That didn't quite get it for me. I didn't get that. What was that? It was a terrorist that blew up the thing with two planes.
Really?
Yes. You should see this movie. What am I going to see in a movie? In the movie, see, these neo-Nazis are going to blow up America. So that raised your awareness. Right. And 9/11 didn't do it? No, not right. I saw it, but I thought it was... Wasn't that just some Katie Couric stunt? What are you saying? Hey, thanks a lot, Ben. I got my awareness raised now, man, with that movie, Sum of All Fears. See, I didn't know the terrorists could blow crap up. Now I see your movie. I get it. And you want to know something? The dude's probably right. For those of us who live in movie theaters... My kids, it'll raise their awareness because I don't think 9/11 sunk in with them. But they'll go see this flick, then they're going to really groove with that. You know, they'll understand exactly what we're talking about. Hey, whatever turns you on, brother. One senior Bush official who spoke to the Drudge Report on condition of anonymity, although his name was George Bush, thinks the movie and the timing of its release crosses over the line of civic responsibility and commerce. Look, with all the dumbasses that we have living in this country, they're liable to believe, after all, what I should say is that it could panic people. After what we've been through the past year, how can Hollywood so casually roll out a movie which shows Marines pulling a bleeding president from his motorcade? Wow. The president, of course, will let Hollywood be Hollywood. He will not publicly comment on this, but I can tell you he is not yet enthusiastic. I've seen the movie 16 times, said the unnamed source named Dick Cheney. I particularly like the part where they're pulling the bleeding president from the motorcade, but please don't quote me. No, we won't, Mr. Cheney. All right, thank you. You're welcome. The Bush official continued from Washington. I mean, I was watching CNN the other day in between Nickelodeon, and they actually jumped from a news story on increased security around our nuclear power plants to later showing a clip from this movie which had windows being blown out by a nuclear blast. Really? How is this positive? Well, it isn't. How does it sell tickets?
It does.
All right. I'm going to go see the movie. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk out of that movie and I'm going to go, that was the biggest pile I've ever seen in my life, man. Bring on Air Force One. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.